Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle People, P-Real Talk in the Easy. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. Yeah, I can say that. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. And I am really happy tonight because we have a great show. And I say we because Dez will be joining us. He's just running a little late. But we have a dynamic duo. Yes, all these superhero movies are going out, and they missed some. Can you believe it? Yeah, it happened. It really happened. And I know you haven't heard of this secret group with their identity, the Lurkies, but they do exist. So, hey, well, I'm going to have them introduce themselves, and we'll get this show started.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Lamke, half of the Dynamic Duo.
And this is the other half, her husband, Jeff.
There we go. And give us a little background of your lives and what got you into natural bodybuilding.
Sure. So I'm 34, originally from Alaska, moved to Minnesota in 2003. I've always been an athlete. I ran track through college, but never took it to that next level until I met Jeff. And we were working out in the gym one day, and he's like, "Hey, you have really big arms for a girl." And it was a little bit of, it was like a pickup line. Compliment. What's that?
I said, there's a pickup line you don't normally hear.
Yeah. So, and to get a little personal, I kind of had a crummy self-esteem, so mixing the big arms for a girl and wanting to boost how I felt about myself, that's what got me started in this industry. And, yeah, we've been doing this since 2012 together, since day one. And I will let Jeff give you his background now.
Well, before I start, I just want to say 7 years into marriage, obviously the pickup line worked. So... I started lifting in 2000 when I was 20 years old, 37 now. I was 140 pounds at 6'1", obviously extremely skinny. Was excited that I had a six pack, but I just wanted a little bit bigger chest. So got a gym membership and it just kind of evolved from there, and when Carrie decided that she wanted to do a show, I figured, well, you know, I always said, one day I just want to do one show and just not take last, and then I can check that off. And here it is 17 years later, and I don't know, 20 or something times on stage later, and it's just kind of become the new lifestyle.
It is a good one, as long as, you know, when we speak about this a lot, on the show is that it's a great avenue for health and fitness because it's a reminder that you can always do better. Now, we've already got questions because people had already seen the link before you guys had come on. So we already got one from Alice, and hers is going to carry with some feedback the husband, and she's basically asking how you guys are able to do the social media forums, the fitness time in the gym, and still have a successful marriage. And we'll start with Carrie and then pass it on.
It's a great question. You know, I'd be lying if I sat here and said, it's easy and everything's made of rainbows and glitter, because that's a bunch of BS. Truth be told, you know, we're up at 5 a.m. every day, and we do this together, and there's never a moment that goes by where we're not a team. And we always have to make sure we take time out for one another, whether it's just sitting on the couch watching our favorite show together, going for a walk with our puppies. But that's key, and that's what holds this together, is making sure that we don't lose focus on what really matters. And what really matters to us is, A, the Lord, and He drives our marriage, and He is the reason this is working, and that we stick together, and we're always on each other's side, and we're always a team, no matter what we're doing, whether it's in the gym and I just hit a PR, or we're both dragging butt in the gym, we need to pick each other up. We're just each other's best friends, and that's what keeps it going.
From the husband side of things, it's definitely a learning curve, you know, and I look at it like, well, hey, we were just in the gym, so what, you know, why do we need a date? We were together for 3 hours. Or what do you know? Compliment you. I just told you your shoulder stride and look great. So, you know, you kind of have to balance that out, remind her that, you know, she's still your wife and she's pretty. And even if the date is just going up to the park and sharing a monster and taking 10 minutes just to talk about, you know, your day or whatever, just to do things outside of the bodybuilding world.
Well, there you go. Now, she also wants to know, you know, because I posted, I don't know if either of you have seen what I posted about the just married couple, and they're already both stuck in technology and sitting apart from each other with the just married mm-hmm. sign right between them. And that's, I thought it was just a mockery of a picture, but that's an actual wedding, and I was shocked about that when I was doing the research. How
wow.
do you stay away from that dilemma, and how is communication so key to basically having things work so well?
Well, first and foremost, like out of the two of us, I'm guilty for being on my phone more than I should be. But it really boils down to, Caitlin, is just shutting it off. You know, people are like, oh, it's so great to unplug and step away, but it's hard to do, especially, you know, this era. Everybody's addicted to their phones. Everybody's addicted to posting what they had for lunch and what they're going to eat for dinner and how great they look in their pants. And what really, Jeff and I have never been about that. We've never been a showy couple. We don't brag and boast. And I think a lot of it is just shutting off the phone and talking to each other without the TV on, without our phones right at our hips, making sure we keep that communication open. And we don't sit and talk every single night. Like, there are some nights when we're exhausted and we go to bed at 7 o'clock. And the thing is in every aspect of our marriage, it takes work. It's not easy. And every day you wake up and you choose to make your spouse happy. You choose to keep your body growing, and you choose to keep your mind going, and that's really what works for us.
Yeah, and just to kind of add on to the turning it off thing, I work as a property manager, so I'm kind of tied to my phone a lot of the times, but, you know, usually in the evening and especially in the weekends, I try to just put it on mute and check if there's any emergencies every now and then, and just, you know, in the beginning, I would check it all the time, and no matter what the situation was, and, you know, you start to understand after a while that, you know, a text here and a text there adds up over the course of time, and, you know, the same goes with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and whatever, you know, it is. If you're just checking your status quick, or, you know, so-and-so posted this, well, that 5 minutes turns into 10, and then three different sessions of 10 or 15 minutes here or there, and it eats up a lot of your night. So, like I said earlier,
yes.
You know, a lot of times just sitting down, you know, watching Teen Mom, yes, it's a guilty pleasure, I don't even care, or whatever our show may be, but just kind of get away from that whole world for a while.
No, and that really basically sticks to what she was asking, because her question dealt more with how do you keep from overriding where you feel obligated to social media and the social media forum mm-hmm. to where you basically start overlooking the person sitting next to you. And trust me, I've seen it done in the gym. I've seen it done with family members, and I've seen it done even mm-hmm. in church, which is shocking to me. But, you know, it's it's something that, you know, we have to talk about and we have to address, because it's actually really getting out of hand.
Yeah, it completely is. We're really not huge on social media. I think, like, on my Instagram, I have 200 followers. Like, it's just not that important to me to have followers. And, like, I like to be an inspiration. I like to motivate people, but I like to do it personally. You know, I like to do it face-to-face where somebody can come up to me and ask me a question rather than DM me, like, oh, what do you use for supplements? Like, I just, a lot of the time, I just don't even pay attention to any of that stuff. And I don't want to come off like we're bigger, better, you know, that doesn't affect us. Because it does. You just have to make a choice.
I got a trophy that'll say you're about right.
I think a big part of it as well is, you know, a lot of times people will, you know, post this meal or that PR or whatever the case may be and feel they need to update their status and tell all their friends. Well, when you actually go through the journey with your best friend, she was there, she knows, you know, we're prepping together, we're cooking together, we don't need to text each other a picture of what we just made or the new recipe because, you know, we share it. So, I mean, our main obligation is to each other and not any would-be followers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, I wish we could basically put this out again, because that's like the perfect response, because when anyone can feel obligated, you know, to where your significant other becomes a lesser being to fulfill an obligation to people you don't truly know, is just mind-blowing to me. So, you know, I hear people explain it, and they, you know, when they're sponsored athletes, yes, they have to put the information out there. I get that. But like you just said, there's a way to do it without basically, and, I, you know, I'm going to use this word because that's basically how I've always seen it, and that's prostituting yourself to where you're no longer the human being that the people that know you in actual life would recognize. So, you know, can you just elaborate on just a little bit more so they can get the full extent of what you're saying, because I really think you tapped into something with our listeners.
I mean, I guess it just really comes down to, you know, like Carrie was saying, it without trying to come across like you're better than anybody. Just everything with social media has taken such a complete different turn that it's just a case of oversharing everything. Like a lot of times turning off the phone is simply to get away from, you know, when you go through prep, you have your own recipes, you have your own everything, you know the meals you like. You really don't have time or the care to want to see, you know, 40 meals all over your timeline. And it ends up being such a complete time waste just scrolling through mindlessly instead of actually, you know, having real life interactions anymore.
Here's my issue with it, Kaylin. People glorify social media to a point where it is replacing their families. You know, it's like their Instagram is replacing their boyfriend, their mother, their sister, their father. What the people don't think about, those people aren't going to be in your life forever. And especially for us, when we have God first and everything else comes after, I think that's what separates us from social media and making it this big, huge, oh, I have to have 10,000 followers on Instagram or I'm nobody. We're somebody to each other, and I think that's what people need to go back to. You're important to someone, not Susie in Kansas because she has a new supplement out and you want to be her best friend. Like, you have to remember you're important to somebody in your life, and people just need to reconnect, physically reconnect with somebody in their life, not on social media.
Do you have anything to add?
Hey, guys, I'm in the show a little late, but I'm here. No, I'm just going to say amen to that. You know, the personal touch, the personal relationship is a lot. It's a lot that we're moving away from. And I do agree wholeheartedly with what's being said here, because we don't know how to relate with each other anymore, because everything that we do on social media is not necessarily who we are. So it's kind of hard to relate and be yourself when you're not really being yourself the vast majority of the day. So I totally agree with that. And it's refreshing just to hear that as a couple, how you guys embrace that. And I know as a parent, especially a little bit of family time that we do have together, you know, it's usually the rule of thumb when we're around the table, you know, like gadgets down and, you know, let's try and communicate mm-hmm. and have a discussion with each other. So, I mean, that is very important. I know in just moving this along just a little bit, we have another question here. Jacob wants to know how you two deal with the stalkers in the gym. And I would have to think that this goes both ways. Maybe not, but, you know, I'm sure you get attention from both sides here. So how do you deal with stalkers in the gym?
I guess I'll go first, being mine, I think, is more brief. Maybe I do have stalkers, but I'm kind of naive and always have been to any female attention until my wife points it out. So I actually pay more attention to the guys that are checking her out and reminding her A, that it's because she's beautiful, and B, that she's lifting more than they are. So from my perspective, I notice her stalkers far more than I notice anybody checking me out.
And for me, first how I deal with it. If somebody crosses the line, there was a gentleman, I don't know if he's a gentleman because I don't know him, but he was in the gym one day and he had his phone facing me as I was squatting, and I see a flash and I walk up to Jeff. I'm like, I think that dude just took a picture of me. Like, I was livid, and Jeff approached him for me. So that's one avenue. And otherwise, if I don't get approached in the gym, I honestly don't. I get stared at a lot, and I just don't pay any attention. I keep my earbuds in, and I have a resting gym face. It's a joke. It's a meme. But I really do. I don't get approached because I'm not approachable in the gym.
No, I agree with you on that. I'm not either. Really, and it's on purpose. So, and not because I think that I will attract stalkers, but I'm there for a reason, and it's not there to chitty chat to actually
Absolutely.
Meet anybody. So,
Absolutely.
I hear what
yeah.
you're saying.
Yeah, I have a husband. So, I'm happy. I don't go there for attention. So I'm moving on.
There you go.
So anybody out there, if you have a little crush, sorry, just like our guest last week with the flex, they're happy in their relationship. So we're going to support them in being happy. So Sarah has been following Carrie, and wants to know how you kept your focus on your career and your goal while still fully supporting your husband?
Well, that is a very good question, Sarah. It's difficult because I say this all the time, that I would not be able to do this if I didn't have Jeff. He helps keep me focused. He helps keep me grounded. Like, I could do the gym, no problem, but the diet is what was really hard when we were both training, and then when I was prepping and he's not prepping. Like, it's ebb and flow, and it's about, hey, do you mind not eating that in front of me? Because I'm starving right now. But truthfully, go to the garage, would you? But truthfully, I wake up every morning and I set my mind to what I want to do that day. It's easy to go to the office and see the bowl of candy and be like, what's one Snicker? Like, no big deal. But you have to make that conscious decision. Hey, I'm not going to screw this up. I'm on my goals. I'm on track. I want to get my pro card. And you have to just decide what you want, you know, what's most important. Because when we first started, I worked in an office where they had this automatic jelly bean dispenser, no lie. I would walk by it every day, and I would get some jelly beans because I just didn't care. And my goals at that time weren't the same as they are now. So you just have to decide what you want out of this, and what you put in it is what you're going to get out of it.
guests, do you have anything you want to, well, I mean, obviously that question was directed towards her, but I'd also like to hear your opinion on that as well from the other side of the coin of how you stay focused while completely being there to support your wife.
I'm probably going to get punched as I say this, but it's not really that difficult for me at all. Like, I have the mindset of if my coach told me to eat a bowl of dirt to make the ultimate progress, I would. I just, whatever I have to eat or drink is not that big a deal to me. So
he's sleeping on the couch tonight.
It's definitely more difficult than Kerry, but I've always been, either we've competed together or I've competed and she's been supporting me. So now that I'm done for the year and she's got a couple left, it's nice to get this side of the perspective where, you know, I can be the one encouraging her even more so and have more patience and stuff to make her more macro friendly meals and just kind of help her process along.
Very good. Very good. So definitely a team effort. I mean, it always helps. It always helps on either side, whether it's easy or hard. It's always good to know that the other one is there for you. Bowl of dirt aside, we'll go ahead and take that. So here's a question, another one for the both of you. What'd you say about jumbo cookies, Kaylin?
I said, so no jumbo cookies or donuts in people's faces, right?
No. Well, and I'm kind of spoiled because Jeff is not a sweet eater, so I don't have to worry about that stuff. So, yeah, no donuts and cookies quite yet. I have through October, so I'm struggling.
So no, but to share the story, he's taking a dig at me. Because I will post, so I'll tease him every once in a while. I'll throw something on his page about donuts or cookies, but I haven't done that in a while. And I usually only do it in response to him cutting up to begin with. So that's what happened. He said something ornery. So what do I do? What do I do? In return, I'll post something ornery, and it's usually a donut or a cookie. So we're just going to clear that up and put that out there.
What
that was all about. The profile pic, it's my profile pic. It's not on your page.
And what is it?
And I didn't post that for you. It was for me. It's mine. It's mine. What is the discussion we've been having about social media? It's my cookie. It makes me happy. It's my cookie. So anyway, and so yeah, not everything I do is to antagonize you, Kaylin. I promise it's not. I own up to it if that's the case.
Okay, there's 12.
But moving on.
One, she
moving
must
on.
Be joking. She can't be serious. Okay, Kaylin, we've sympathized with you because we know how you feel about sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you guys out there are killing me. Killing me. You know what? You can block me for a while, Kaylin, but the picture, the profile pic is staying. It's staying. All right. Bill wants to know, this is for Jeff and Kerry now, we digress. He wants to hear more about the pro card win, guys. He wants to know what it was like for Jeff to win his card and then for Kerry to win hers.
Dad, I haven't won mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that part of it. I'm asking this question blind. So, Kerry, you're chasing, but you're going to get it. I just know it. But anyway, was it like for Jeff to get it and just that feeling and emotion?
I honestly really haven't felt it yet, I guess. I had all these thoughts of what it may or may not feel like when I finally got there after all this time. And I think it all just happened so fast that, I mean, doing the three classes, everything just kind of went quickly. I did physique, classic physique, and bodybuilding at that last show. So I was in overall for everything. So it just seemed like I won my class and moved on and was in overall. And then when I finally won it in classic physique and I was backstage and starting to wipe the tan off and everything, it still hadn't sunk in. And I have since ordered the pro card and got that in the mail. And I thought that would be the time that when I saw my name listed as a pearl on there, then it would sink in. But I mean, it's just kind of been back to business as usual. And in the gym, I think about, you know, now it's prepping for a pro debut instead of going for that pro card. But it honestly hasn't really hit me yet.
And just to give you guys a background, we've been doing this for 5 years, and it seems like every single show, they were like, Jeff Lamke, fourth place. So it was like when we won, I screamed the loudest. Like, I'm sure, Keelan, I'm sure you heard me. Like, I was in tears,
yes,
and I was bawling like a, I was bawling like a baby. And it was like everything just came into fruition for him. And even though I haven't won mine, I feel like I have won because he won. And I just, it's really exciting. And I pretty much remind him every day. I'm like, hey, Jeff, you know you're a pro? Just to hope it sinks in for him.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
I haven't posted it anywhere. I haven't told anybody that I won, but somehow everyone comes up to me and says, hey, I heard you won. Congratulations.
And my fault.
they do listen to Midwest Muscle and P4P Real Talk. Ouch.
You can't hide good news for very long. And Carrie, so Bill, our listener who asked that question, he is wanting to apologize. He thought you already had your pro card, so he hopes you understand that he didn't mean any ill will towards that. He honestly thought you already had it, so he's hoping that he didn't upset you with that.
Bill, no offense taken. I totally understand. It's been a long time. It's been 5 years, and you always think, oh, this time is going to be it. But, you know, I think now, this long in my journey, it's going to mean more to me now versus if I had won it, you know, when we first started. So I'm enjoying the journey so far. I'm excited of the changes that I've made. So it's my physique. So no worries, Bill. I'll still be your friend.
Just not in the gym.
Yeah, just not in the gym.
Now, the one thing I always say, you know, it's so good when you're competing to do well. But when you've been with someone during that journey and watch the good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty, the beautiful, the sad, all of those times, all of those moments are shared, and you get to see the other side of it, where there's that wondrous moment that no one can ever take away. I mean, like, no matter what happens in life, that moment stands. As a husband and wife, you know, that's the epitome of shared everything. Because people don't, you know, it's like one thing that to watch people compete, but then it's something totally different. And I'm not talking about the edited crap they put on these little editorials or little nonchalant crap documentaries. I'm talking about the nuts and bolts, the grits and gravy. Yeah, I said it. I don't care. But anyway, I'm talking about, you know, the meat and potatoes, the hard shell. Okay, I said enough. But anyway, just explain that so people can really get the gist of what we're talking about, because you're talking about everything lining up because you work so hard to line everything up, and that's not easy. And I don't want to gloss over that to where couples think, oh, you know, they're just lucky. Luck has nothing to do with it.
No.
Yeah, I think you stated it pretty well. Like, when I'm going through the motions every day, it's like, you know, you get up, you work out, you hit your macros, you know, it's just, I feel like it's the motions, it's what I do, it's the lifestyle. But I'm actually more excited for Carrie's show now, with me not competing and feeling like she's got a great shot at her pro card now, and to see her finally get there. Whereas I feel like I'm going through the motions, I look at her like, wow, babe, you're doing so awesome. You know, you're up every morning when most people would easily just hit the snooze button. You never miss a day. You know, you go in when you're sick, you go in when you're tired, it doesn't matter, you're in there, you're killing it. You know, you're hitting your numbers every day, whether, you know, it's a good day or a bad day, you're not cheating on your diet, and it's going to be more satisfying to actually watch her reach her ultimate goal than it was for me to reach it.
Isn't he sweet? I want to talk about the dirt of the ugly side of this as a married couple. Back in 2016, when we were doing this together, we had a note on the fridge. We had to post it, literally write a note, post it on the fridge and say, be nice to each other and give each other a hug. Because I don't know if people understand how hard this gets when you're in prep. You know, you're low, you're in a calorie deficit, you're hungry, you're cranky, you're tired. And it's easy to take each other for granted and be like, well, even if I'm sure he's still going to be here, you know, he's married to me.
Yeah.
And,
That's so real. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, it gets really hard, especially for me. And I'm not trying to use, you know, the girl card as an excuse, but it gets really hard for females when you're going through all of the emotions of that, you know, that a woman feels and being hungry and, you know, you want chocolate and you want cake, you want ice cream, you want all this nasty stuff. And
focus donuts.
Donuts. You know, Caitlin, when you said the grits and gravy of it, I said, grits, because I love me some grits. But the ugly side of this is we have to remind each other that you're most important. I don't care what happens in this, on my journey. If I get my program, if I lose, if I get second, eighth, tenth, my marriage is what matters most. And it's really easy to forget that and to wake up crabby already and cranky and be a jerk to your spouse. Why? Because you're tired? Because you got 5 hours of sleep? Because you have an insomnia and you're sleepy? Like, it's just so easy to forget what that person means to you in the midst of this. And it can get really hard.
Oh, most definitely. And even, I mean, to forget what the other person may be feeling, but you also always don't realize how you're coming across to other people.
Right.
You may feel like you're talking in a normal tone, but in that instance, you just snapped on them and they don't know why. And you didn't even realize what you did. So, I mean, it's that understanding needs to go, has to go both ways, whether it's husband, wife, you know, parent, child, whatever that family dynamic is to understand that, A, I need to try harder to not, be that cranky person that's being unreasonable, even though I may not realize that's what I'm doing. You know, I need to be more hypersensitive. And then the people listening to you also in the same tone need to understand, you know, those memes you see, forgive me for what I said when I'm hangry. They're true. They're totally true. So that, I mean, it totally has to go both ways. And I could see hanging that note on the refrigerator being necessary, especially when two of you are going through it at the same time. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We finally come to an understanding with my mom. She goes, oh, it's peak week. Talk to you after the show.
She finally understands.
Oh, shoot. So a couple more questions coming in. you might just volunteer to sleep on the couch just in case. That's not the question. So Sam wants to know, she's curious about if when you guys are prepping together, if you share the same diet or if your meal plans differ in any way.
Typically, I will experiment on something, and then once I find out it's delicious, I will end up making two of them, and then my wife will follow the same thing.
Sometimes, but other times it's absolutely disgusting because he puts crap in his oats that you don't even want to know about. Like, he puts zucchini in his oats. Like, who does that? Like, that's wrong.
I like zucchini and I like oats, but I've never tried them together.
Oh!
Yeah. Last season I had oats and zucchini and chicken and I think root beer instead of water. It got a little weird for a while, but
it was like vomit. But I am a creature of routine, and I pretty much eat the same thing every single day because it's easy, it's quick, and I know what I like. And when he does find something delicious, like protein donuts, obviously I will eat those. But I pretty much stay.
Why must you stay down there?
But it was a protein. It was a protein donut, Kaylin. It's okay, buddy. It's okay.
If they bring them to the mayhem, I'm good.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so
there you go.
Feel like,
there you go.
Yeah, we got you.
Oh. Hashtag donut.
We got a mug cake for you there, too. We got a mug cake.
We'll have mug cake. We'll have a mug cake there, a chocolate whey mug cake.
No, it'll be a chicken noodle.
So, moving on, Dale wants to know what were some of the unexpected issues that came up during prep that almost derailed the journey, if there were any that almost derailed the journey.
I can't think of anything. Sometimes it's actually an advantage to prep together, because if anything does come up, the other person's been through it, felt it, whatever, you know, if you're upset that your mug cake, your protein donuts didn't turn out and it seems like the end of the world, the other person gets it, you know, and we just throw it away and team up and start over.
I'm giggling because that literally happened yesterday. I have a recipe for low-carb bread, and I messed it up 3 times in a row, and I was like a puddle on the floor crying. But, yeah, for me, like I said, I have Jeff to kind of be my flotation device through this, but for me, especially last season, literally getting out of bed was my hardest thing. Because when I first started prepping, I would get up at 3:30 in the morning. And I started prepping in March, and my first show was in May. And I went all the way through October, which, as Kayla knows, that's a long prep. That's a long prep.
Long, yes.
And near the end of it, I literally had a hard time getting out of bed and getting to the gym, and it almost derailed me. I really wanted to give up before mayhem because I was like, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm over it, and I just had to keep going and just stay focused on what I wanted.
Oh, hold on, guys. I said it, and Carrie just said it. We're talking about a show, the Minnesota Mayhem, and we're not talking about some part of our life where we just couldn't deal with it. I'm sorry for not being more clear on that. Yikes. Okay, go ahead, Gary.
That was my biggest issue, was just to keep going and keep on prep. Because I don't know if people understand, like, after a show and you have more to go, you're not done. You don't, you know, get to go on an eating binge for a week and then, oh, I'll get back at it. Like, it's not like that. It's cheat that night, you know, have a fun meal, some fun snacks you've been craving, and then right back to it the very next day. So that was pretty much my
potential downfall.
Yeah, my potential downfall was getting out of bed and just not hitting that snooze button. I'm not made of armor. I'm not a fake person. I'm perfect. I literally had a hard time getting out of bed and getting prepared for October.
Yes. And, but, you know, I like how you basically walked your way into a way of successfully achieving what your goal was. And what I mean by that is you balanced out, both of you, with the social media forum. You balanced out the relationship. You balanced out work. You balanced out prep, diet, and also gym time. And, you know, it's simple as it might sound, that's an awful lot going on each and every day. How vital is communication to make sure all of that falls into place every single day?
That's a really good point, Kaylin. We over-communicate, and that might sound funny, like, how can you over-communicate? But we literally communicate about everything, about what we're eating that day, what we're working out in the gym the next morning. And I think a lot of it's just to keep each other on track and keep each other in check. Like, you know, what's your workout tomorrow? You know, where are you at in your macros? How much protein do you have left for the night? We literally talk about everything along this journey. And I don't know how personal I can get, but another dark side of this, being married, all intimacy is gone. You know, like Jeff said, we've been married almost 7 years. You truly find out who the person you're married to is and how true your love is. Because when you're both in prep, you maybe hug each other, but you literally, like, it's hard to talk. It's hard to touch. It's hard to hug. Like, it just doesn't exist. So that, you have to communicate about everything when you don't have other activities in your marriage, if you guys know what I'm talking about, happening to keep you connected. So you have to communicate, and you have to talk about, like, how are you feeling? Do you still love me? Do you still find me attractive? Because
No, but I'm glad you bring that up, because, I mean, if you've been experiencing it, odds are someone else out there is experiencing it too, or, you know, or they're on the fringes of it, and they're not quite sure what they're heading to. But even just knowing that's not an unnormal thing, I should say, and granted, it's probably not that way for everybody, but it's probably that way for a good number of people, or enough people that, you know, it should be on your radar, that it could be a possibility. But that doesn't mean that the relationship's in trouble. It just means that
these
two are at that time, and one of the solutions is to really talk it out, communicate, don't keep it inside, but, you know, let each other know, at least verbally, I can't even pronounce, verbally, where you are if it's not happening physically.
Right.
Or emotionally.
I just know that when you get deep enough in prep and she asks if you want to go in the other room, she better be in the kitchen for pancakes.
I love it. I love it. Nothing says love like Aunt Jemima. Or Biscuit.
You know,
Hungry Jack. So, you know, and for people who haven't experienced it, yes, pancakes can, nothing says love like pancakes sometimes. Even
absolutely.
If it's a pancake.
Absolutely. Yeah, it can get really difficult too, especially when Jeff was competing and I wasn't, because, you know, your estrogen starts to level out, your hormones start to level out when you're not competing. And so when he was and I wasn't, I was like, why don't you want me? Why don't you love me? Why are we not touching? He was like, you do remember that I'm in prep. And you have to remind your spouse, like, you're still important to me, even though we don't have that aspect of our marriage happening right now.
And there you have it. And that's real. That's real talk there, folks. Question, shifting a little bit from the topic. Kyle wants to know what your family's think or how they feel about the fit lifestyle that you two are sharing together.
Well, I shared with Kaylin before we started on the radio that I'm half Black and my family loves to eat. So when I go home to visit, my dad constantly reminds me how skinny I am and that I need to eat. They just don't understand. My mom is super supportive. You know, I send her my progress pics, and she's super excited, and she understands it. But my dad's just like, no, you're too skinny. You need to eat some food. And I have one sister that absolutely is enthralled with what we do. She came to one of my shows, and she was beet red the entire time because, you know, there's guys up there and barely nothing. She was super embarrassed. But for the most part, you know, my family is supportive of what we've chosen to do, because I've always, like I said, I've always been an athlete. So just changing my passion in the athletic department to bodybuilding, they kind of get it and they understand it. But my dad will constantly remind me that I'm too skinny no matter what happens in my life.
As far as my family goes, they, like I said, my mom's finally starting to get it. Took several shows of, well, can you have this? Can you have this? Can you have this? Can you have this? So now she just basically opens the cupboard of the fridge, says, take whatever you can't have, and she just saves labels for everything in case we do eat it. So she's finally starting to get it, but it took about 4 or 5 years.
You know, I'm going to jump in on this one because this is something that, you know, it hits close to home because I had started competing, and basically I was just like I was brought into by the fitness people. So my family had nothing to do with it, and there was a lot of alarms and alerts and interventions, basically like, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? Are you sick? You know, are you on drugs? What's really going on with you? And the more I explained what was going on, it's like, okay, he's hiding something, and he's not doing right. And I was just so blown away with that that I basically just shut him out. And, you know, it was so funny because it was 3 years in before I realized exactly what had happened because I had a fitness family that I could speak to about it. So I didn't have to basically look to my blood family for support in that arena. And if there was something that I wish I could go back and change, it would have been that because basically it was just shutting them off and not worrying about it because I never had to be around it. And, it you know, like I said, in hindsight, it probably wasn't the best way to go about it. But when you're reminded that, hey, you have a family and they've never been to a bodybuilding show that you've been competing, and I do a lot of shows a year, so that's an awful lot of missed time, misunderstanding, and like you guys are so good at, miscommunication. I wasn't doing the communication that you guys are so good at doing. And, you know, I apologized to them later, and I can't even speak about how great it was to have family actually in the audience. It was just the craziest thing in life to me because it was something that I didn't even think about.
Yeah, it's in this industry, it's super important to have a support system. Like I said, my family doesn't quite understand, but I'm very blessed in that they're curious at least. You know, they do ask questions, and my sister and brother are constantly messaging me, like, what can I eat? I need to lose some weight. And so at least they're curious in that. And, yeah, with Jeff's parents being closer than mine in distance, it's really nice to have his mom here, and she's since stopped offering me cookies and chocolate. It's really nice. I know. I feel you. I really want your snickerdoodle protein. I still have to buy it. I'm craving.
Well, there you go. Maybe she can make you some snickerdoodle protein donuts, Kaylin.
Yeah,
you know,
buddy.
At the mayhem.
I bet you they're macro friendly.
They really
all
are.
Right. I bet you they are. You have to send us the recipe. I would like to take a look at it at some time if you have the time. All right. So Jill K wants to know if you guys have ever received bad advice and followed it only to go back to what was working.
I don't think we went in that direction without mentioning any names before we were lucky enough to hook up with James at Team Reps. We had kind of a progression of coaches that didn't give us the greatest advice along the way before we finally settled on one that we really love now, but it wasn't any bad advice and then turning around and going back. It was a lot of bad advice to begin with the Burl methods of cutting out water and all that kind of stuff leading into shows. And so we tend to experience the bad, and it's gradually just gotten better and better, thankfully.
Oh, good. Carrie, do you have anything to add to that?
Pretty much what Jeff said, the two coaches we went through before James, I remember one night we just moved in, just bought our first house together. We were painting and all that kind of fun stuff. We were up late and talked to our coach, and he's like, oh, yeah, go ahead and kind of eat what you want. And we literally ate an entire box of Nutri-Grain bars. Like, no lie. We had no idea what we were doing. And there was at one point where we were counting out our almonds at dinner, And I was like, yes, I get 6 almonds tonight. Like, it was really sad, and we were under eating, and it was just not healthy. Yeah. I know.
If you guys don't know, that's a pet peeve of Dad and I. It still hurts, Dad. I'm sorry. And you're such good people, and it just hurts to know that your health was such of little concern that the people just didn't even bother to fully address it. And, you know, I'm sorry that even happened.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, just we didn't know any better at the time, and we didn't know who to ask and who to talk to. And that's the sad thing is, Kaylin, is people, you know, they look for a coach. They're like, oh, I'll just go with what's cheapest because that's kind of what we did. And you get into a situation where it's not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, silver lining to that is at least you were in tune enough to ask questions, yeah, and figure out what wasn't working until you landed somewhere where it was, and it was a healthier situation. So, I mean, that's, I think, the main takeaway there. If something doesn't seem right, folks, and it's not feeling right, you don't have to stay. Ask lots
right.
of questions, and if they can't answer your questions, that should be a telltale sign that you should move on, probably.
No,
even if you've already invested, you know what? You're worth far more than whatever you invested in any program, and it's better just to cut your losses and, you know, either save up if you have to, and while you're saving up, be doing more homework until you find that right match for you.
Absolutely.
So,
it makes a world of difference when you get with a coach that is knowledgeable and has the background and has the studies and does his homework to give you the best results and give you healthy results. So if there's anybody listening that is wanting to get into this world, you know, hit me up. Not that I know everything, but there's lots of coaches out there that are just in it for the money and not for your well-being.
Yep. Amen to that. And with that being said, you know, if someone did want to reach out to you, where do they find you?
Well, I am on Instagram. My handle is it a handle on Instagram or is that just Twitter? I don't know. My hashtag, whatever you call it. This is how much I'm on social media. I'm at fit_K.Lynn, L-Y-N. Not trying to be like Kaylin, but Lynn's my middle name.
Wait a minute.
What?
Kaylin, hello.
My name's Harry and my middle name's Lynn. So,
okay.
And just okay, I want to be like you. Is that what you want to hear? And then just in
front of my. Now you know.
You can just search for my name on Facebook. It's Carrie, K-A-R-I, last name Lamke, L-A-M-K-E. And then there's Jeff.
I'm on Instagram, but I couldn't even tell you what my name is on there. Easiest way would just be on Facebook.
All right, cool. And Lamke, L-A-M-K-E.
Yes, ma'am.
And there you have it. So we only have a couple of minutes left, but when we do have time, we always like to give our guests the opportunity to give shout outs to anyone and everyone who has been there for them along their journey, and that even includes giving shout outs to each other if you would like. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the floor over to the both of you to do that.
Well, thank you so much. We first of all want to say thank you for putting us on and giving us this opportunity to share our story. And I'm certainly grateful for my husband. Like I said from the get-go, I could not do this without him. Definitely shout out to our coach, James Shmagranoff, and his amazing wife, Rachel, who has become my very best friend. And this wouldn't be possible without them.
Yeah, kind of the same for me. Obviously, with my best friend and tag team partner here, none of it would matter or mean anything. And then, like you said, James and Rachel have been absolutely awesome over the last few years that we've gotten to know them, and an amazing coach and his sidekick there has is just as amazing with everything she contributes to the rest of the team. So without my wife and James and Rachel, it wouldn't mean anything.
Yeah, buddy.
There you have it. Kaylin, any last minute thoughts, questions?
Oh, no.
I can't tell if you're laughing at me or laughing with me.
I'm laughing with you. That yeah, buddy got me. I'm sorry. I like that one. Oh, that's a good one. I got nothing.
He lost the birds. I need him speechless.
Well, then I just want to say thanks, guys, for joining us tonight. And I'm sorry I was late, but I'm so glad that I didn't miss it. What shows did you say you guys are prepping for? Is the Minnesota Mayhem on your calendar for this year?
Better
or do you have some other shows coming up yet this year that you're working towards?
Well, Jeff is done for the season. June 24th was his last show. He had already done 4 shows at that point. I'm just getting started. So my next show is August 26th in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's called the Falls Classic, put on by Jennifer and Renee Martinez. And then, yes, I am doing the Mayhem, which is October 14th in Duluth, Minnesota.
Woo-hoo!
And I'm done.
All right. So I look forward to seeing you there. I think someone else we know has got the Mayhem on his calendar as well, so it should be a fun time, along with Mug Cake.
Mug Cake.
We're going to have a little Mug Cake action going on there. So thanks again so much for joining us, folks. Jeff, congrats on a great season. Carrie, best of luck to you, and I look forward to seeing you this fall.
Thank you so much, and thanks again for having us on, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, indeed.
Awesome.
Yeah, buddy.
So, on behalf of myself, Kaylin, Lampkeys, and the boys at P4P Real Talk, your body is a temple.
Before I end the show, there was one question that came up, and it was asking about creatine. And there's a lot of misrepresentation about this supplement, and it has nothing to do with steroids or anything else, even though it's been added. We have to really do our research and homework so we don't have these myths or bro science ideas out there. Creatine is a natural supplement found in steaks. It's a concentrated form with basically all the meat removed. That goes down to how the intake, and it's basically taken as a supplement in place of how all the protein you would have to take to make that supplement work. So, I hope that answers your question. If not, message me in the Midwest Muscle messages or the P2P production line, and I'll answer further. But thank you so much for reaching out. Have a blessed night.